Hey, what's going on, guys? It's Lawrence Kane Jr., financial coach and host of the Money Talks podcast on the Never Not Working Network. Want to welcome y'all to the very first episode of this podcast. A little bit about myself. I've been in the financial industry for the last 7 years, working in banking, working in financial aid, working in private lending. I started my own company back in 2015 called Abundance University, where we provide financial coaching, credit repair, and financial workshops. I'm also the author of a book called Money Seeds, 30 Financial Principles. You can get it on our website, abundanceuniversity.net/moneyseeds. And we wanted to create a podcast that could give you perspective, but also give you knowledge and strategies when it came to finances, when it comes to money, when it comes to how do we maneuver in this capitalistic society that we live in. And that's what the goal of this podcast is. So going forward, you can expect all of the topics that we talk about on social media, from, you know, student loans to who should pay what in the household. We're going to be talking about everything, and we'll have some special guests every now and then to provide just ultimately more value to us so we can be better financially as a whole. So today's podcast, we're going to talk about student loans. For most of us, that is a big factor in our household. A lot of us went to school. Some of us didn't finish. Some of us did. Some of us are thinking about going back. And we know that student loans in our community. So with that being said, I want to start on like the history of student loans. The first student loan was actually offered by Harvard University back in 1840. And then 27 years after that, in 1867, the U.S. Department of Ed was formed and created. Their sole purpose was to help make schools more successful. So, of course, we fast forward to 2017. They seems like they just provide student loans. I don't think they actually make schools better in that regards, but you know, they've been around for, you know, hundreds of years, and their main product right now is actually offering student loans. But again, 1867 is when they formed. You fast forward to 1944, after the Second World War, the GI Bill was passed. So this was offering college for either free or very cheap to the war veterans. And once they passed that bill, about 49% of veterans made up admission to college. So again, back then it was still cheap to go to college. You really didn't need student loans, but they still existed. So you fast forward to 1958. That's when federal student loans are first offered. Again, it started out with schools were offering loans to people who wanted to go, but now 1958, that's when federal loans were first offered. And then you go to 1972. This is a big important part year for schools and student loans and admissions, because that's when the created, and also that's when Sallie Mae was born. And they, of course, started off real small. Really didn't do a lot of student loans, but now they're the largest private lending institution in America. You go to 1992, that's when FAFSA, the website FAFSA was created. And then you have 1993 when direct lending occurred, where now the federal agencies can now offer direct loans to students. They don't have to go through banks or anything. And then you look at 2012, student loan debt in America reached $1 trillion. $1 trillion in just student loan debt. That's not mortgages. That's not, you know, the debt that we owe to other countries. That's not credit card debt. That's literally just in student loan debt in America, $1 trillion. And the average American, according to statistics, owe $27,000. So we really have a problem. Let's just be honest. It's a problem. And we need to tackle it. We need to focus on getting rid of this debt individually and collectively, but also figuring out for the next generation, how do we get through this? So we had a poll question on Facebook, and our poll questions will also be on Twitter going forward. So you can follow me, Lawrence Kane Jr., or Abundance U 513 on Twitter. That's where the poll question will be. But we asked a basic question. Was your student loans worth it? That was the question. Yes or no? And 95% of people that answered said that it wasn't worth it. And the majority of them talked about it wasn't worth the money and it wasn't worth the time. And those are two valuable things, right? Like, some people went to school, realized that they were going to school for the wrong thing, and then had to either change majors or drop out, but still had that debt. But then you had people that went to college and got that degree, but then they found out that the field that they're in, you really don't have to have a degree, or they switch fields, you know, 5-6 years down the road, and you know, they still got these student loans. So bottom line, you know, we have to be mindful of the fact that we are always going to change as humans. You know, your interests, your likes, and your hobbies will change over time. And this is something that we need to tell the younger generation, that you will change. So, you know, figure out what you want. And figure out what drives you, figure out what gives you energy, and then you start with that. And just bottom line, when you talk about going into going to college in the 21st century, we have grown to make this process so backwards, right? When we're in school, most of us, we go to our guidance counselor. They tell us to look at student loans, then look at college scholarships, and then look at cash. And that's so backwards. You should first be looking at scholarships or grants for school. Then you should be looking to pay for cash or pay with cash. And then student loans should be the last option. So if you're looking at going back to school, you need to figure out what scholarships you can get. You need to figure out, you know, how much an out-of-pocket expense would be for college. And then lastly, the student loans. And there's a website called niche.com that you can go on. So even if you've been out of school for a while, niche.com, you actually can go on there, sign up for an account, and fill out scholarships. And those scholarships on that website, you don't have to, there's no GPA requirement. So even if you're, you know, a high school senior listening to this, and you got a bad GPA, it's okay. Like, you don't have to have the best GPA to still be able to get scholarships. Another website, it's actually an app, and it's called Scholly. And we'll have this in the comment section in our on iTunes. And again, it's Scholly. And what this does, there was a guy named Chris Gray. He was actually on Shark Tank for this app, where he himself got $2 million in scholarship money, and he went to Drexel University, and he noticed a lot of his friends had to drop out because they didn't have money to pay for college. So what he did was he created this app, and what it does, you create a profile. So you answer everything as honest as possible. And then from there, it matches you to scholarships that you qualify for. So any scholarship that you see after you create your profile, you qualify for, and you can get it. I mean, one of my youth at my alma mater, he just got $700,000 in scholarship money. He going to Berea College in KY, in Kentucky, for those who don't know what KY is. he's going for free. I mean, $700,000, you can pretty much go anywhere. But again, these things are out there. Again, we got to stop looking at student loans first. We got to stop looking at FAFSA. You know, we be having these student loan and financial aid nights at our schools. Bottom line, we know that it's scholarship money out here. That's free money. You never have to pay back. You need to go after the scholarship money and the grants first. For those of you who claim y'all, you know, your high school class was the best class of your high school, I challenge you to create a scholarship foundation for your class. So every member in your class that you can still get in contact with, you make them pledge at least $10 a month to that scholarship foundation. Let's say it's 50 of y'all. Y'all all donate 10, right? And that's $500 a month going towards the scholarship foundation. That's $6,000 a year that you can be giving away to a scholarship. We gotta start taking control over the next generation. They not gonna do it themselves because they don't know it. That's just bottom line. They don't know what to do. We have to guide them through it. And you have to guide them through it, the people who you have influence over. So again, the goal is stay away from student loans going forward. Also, if you still have student loans and you're paying on them, you want to stay out of deferment or forbearance. All that does is add interest and it adds time onto your student loan debt. Like, I know times are hard for some people, and that's okay, but you gotta find a way to make some extra money to cover your student loans. That way you can stop getting charged so much interest. That's the biggest reason why debt is bad. And that's why student loans are the worst kind of debt, because it's not tangible, right? It's not like a car note where, you know, I'm paying $300 a month, but I'm driving a car every day. It's not like a mortgage where I'm paying $775 a month, but I'm living in that house every day. We paying $300-$400 in student loans, and some of us ain't using that degree. So I know that's why it's bad, because it's an intangible debt. So we got to stop prolonging it and, you know, getting into deferments and forbearances. Literally, we have to pay them off ASAP. And what we do is, number one, avoid consolidation. We have to avoid consolidation at all costs, because what happens is they make it seem like you're getting a deal by having a lower payment, but you're still paying more over time. So you can go from having six individual loans to one big loan, and it's going to take you longer to pay that big loan off, even though it's the same amount. So bottom line, you got to avoid the consolidation. And what you do is you line all those six student loans up, smallest to largest. You find a way to pay an extra $250 on that small student loan balance. Once you pay that off, you put that $250 in whatever else you was paying, you put that on the next one. And you keep doing that until you done. I mean, me personally, I did that, and last year I paid off three of my loans. I'm going into the bigger ones now, so I haven't paid off one yet. But I'm continuing, staying consistent, and I'm going to have my student loan debt paid off probably by next year, just because I want to add an extra $1,500 on it. And going into another way, people ask me, how can I make extra money? I mean, if you're not comfortable in sales, you ain't got to join a network marketing company. If you are comfortable in sales, then that's a good way to start, because you also get those tax benefits. But you need to find something that you're good at, or you need to invest in somebody else's business. You need to be a brand ambassador for somebody. If it's something that you already love to do, figure out how to get paid for that. That's how I started my company, because I knew that I wanted to teach this stuff anyway. So I just made a company out of it. I made a business model, and we have multiple services that we provide. But, you know, even if you want to be in the music industry, you need to figure out what you're good at in the music industry. You may not be a good rapper, but you may be a good promoter. You may be someone who does video editing. You might be somebody who knows how to do graphic design. Whatever it is, you got to figure out how can you generate more money by doing something that you're already good at. That's just bottom line. And for the next generation, this is very important. Most of us, we know people that are a part of the next generation, whether they're your cousins, your siblings, you know, some of us who have kids. We need to put our kids in position. We got to get them ahead of the game by focusing on what they want and encouraging them to dominate where they are now. That's just bottom line. And how we do this is, and this is a theory that I go through in my head all the time, I don't want kids to go straight to college after high school. You turn 18, you get out of high school. I want you to live life. I want them to encounter things. I want them to experience some things that they that high school just couldn't teach and won't teach. You know, they need to know how it's like to be dead broke. They need to know what it's like to have to get up in the morning and grind. They need to know what it's like to go to a networking event. Some people never went to a networking event until they get out of college. Like, they've never been to any networking event. They've never had an interview with where they had to wear a shirt and tie. Our kids used to wear, you know, jeans and a polo shirt. Like, you know, we got to really, you know, take our time with kids. I think when you look at how America is set up, you go straight from having to ask, can you use the restroom at 18, to taking out $50,000 in debt in a matter of weeks. That's stupid to me. And we have to backtrack. We got to figure out what it is that we want them to do. And they have to figure out what they want to do. Because I know a ton of people who went to college for one thing and it didn't work out. And that's and the only reason why it's not okay is because they had student loans. That's the only reason. If they didn't have the student loans and they went to college for free and it didn't work out, nobody would say, man, I know that's messed up. People would be like, oh, that's cool. Well, at least you tried something. That's what they would say. They wouldn't say anything about this, you know, about the decision and how it could have possibly been stupid, or it's the worst decision you'd have made, or I wish I would have stayed. You know, the regret comes from the debt that we owe, not from the experiences that we encounter while we're at college. That's why college is so great, because you get to meet new people, you get to experience new cultures, you get to build your network. You know, it's people that I met in college that, you know, are from states I've never even been to. But, you know, I got a partner who bought my book all the way from Houston. I never been to Texas. And when I get to Texas, he like, when I go to Houston, he said, you ain't got to worry about anything other than getting here. I'll pay for everything. You can stay with me. And I've never been there. But that relationship that we built while I was in school, that's how I got that. So college is good, but how we get there and how we maneuver is what we need to focus on. So if we wait till they turn 21, and that'll let me know if they really want to go to college. Like me personally, I took 3 years off. I graduated when I was 17, and then I didn't go to college until I was 20. So yeah, maybe I might be, you know, talking about my personal experience, but if you look at it, when you're 20, 21, 22, after you done been out of school, you kind of start to understand what life is about for you. You kind of see what you don't really want to be a part of and what you really do. And also you get to a point where you understand you ain't getting no younger. And that's when life really starts to happen. That's when you really start to get the ideas going in your head. So we have to wait till they turn 21. To get them started correctly. And while they're waiting, they have to do what I call the financial independent checklist. This is in my book, Money Seeds. And I think that if everybody did this while they were at home, before they move out, they would be in a better place. So number one, they have to save $5,000 on their own. So not getting help from their parents. Literally them finding a job, finding some way to make money to where they're saving. They have $5,000 in the bank before they leave for college or before they leave the house. The second one, they need to learn a skill or a trade. So I don't care if you go to school for computer engineering or you go to school for being a nurse. You still need to learn a skill or a trade. And that skill or a trade should be able to give you income security. Because there's no such thing as job security in 2017. There's no such thing. There is a such thing as income security. Some people, like myself, I can always generate income because I have certain skills. And that's what we got to get our kids to know. We know that they took wood shop out of our high school. We know they not teaching us technical skills. Most men that I hang with, none of us really know how to build houses or know how to do electrical work. And so we got to teach our kids that's what they should be doing. Learning those skills before they leave the house, right? So we got saving $5,000. They're going to learn a skill or a trade. Then they're going to start building their credit, right? And we're going to have a podcast specifically about credit. But one thing I will say on this one today is that we fail at starting our kids on the right path with their credit. And there are some things that we can do to help them get started with 750 credit scores without spending any money. So we'll talk about that probably on the next podcast. But bottom line is we got to get them started. We got to get them started early and get them started right. So again, save $5,000. They're going to learn a skill or a trade. They're going to build their credit. Then they're going to furnish their apartment, dorm, or house before they move out. So a lot of times we got in trouble with moving out early, not even having any savings. We go from giving our mama $50 for bills to now we have $700 to $1,000 in living expenses. And then on top of that, we try to fund and furnish a house or furnish an apartment. And that's why rent-a-centers and errand stores are up and running, because too many people want to get the stuff before they actually work for it. So let's just take a step back. Instead of, you know, paying, you know, $2,000 for $1,500 couch or whatever it is, let's start buying that stuff, put it on layaway, not have to pay interest on it, and just keep buying stuff until you got everything furnished. Put it in a storage. I'd rather you pay $200 a month for storage than to be paying $200 in interest just so you can have friends sit on your couch and throw up on it because y'all getting drunk. That's just bottom line. So, again, they're going to furnish that. They're going to furnish that. Then the last thing, and this is another topic we will talk about on this podcast, is they need to either join an investment club or start an investment account on their own. So time is on young people's side when it comes to investing. There's a story about Benjamin Franklin. When he died, he gave the city of New England and the city of Philadelphia $1,000 each to put into the stock market. And neither one of those cities could touch it for 200 years. He died in, I believe, 1798, I believe. If I'm wrong, you know, just holler at me and let me know if I'm wrong. But I think it was 1798. Fast forward in 1998, those funds were over $2 million and another one was over $4 million. So we know that with compound interest, time is always on your side. So, yeah, none of us going to live to see 200 years. But we know that if I start investing at 18, when I turn 48, that's 30 years. Most of us don't even have jobs where we got 401ks. And most of those are trash anyway. That we do, and then they don't have check match or anything. So we want to get them started early. And also, if they don't feel like they want to invest $200 a month, they can find 9 other friends to invest $100 a month. So now he a part of an investment club, $1,000 a month going into this investment. They wait for 20 years, and it grows, you know, to triple what they put in. And that's what we got to do. So when it comes to student loans, we got to stop taking them out by implementing these things. For our next generation, again, we want to kill Sally Mae. We don't want Sally Mae to exist, at least not in our communities. They can have other people money, but they can't have ours, bottom line. So again, if you have student loans, put an extra $250. Your goal is in the next 6 months to be putting $250 extra on your student loans. If you're in deferment or forbearance, your goal is to be able to afford your student loan each month and then start putting the $250 on. And if you have kids or if you know somebody that's about to go to college, make sure that they get on niche.com, make sure they get the Scholly app, and make sure that they complete the financial independent checklist. And I want to just leave off with a money saving tip. One of the main things that comes out of our bank accounts every month are subscriptions, whether it's Hulu, whether it's Tidal, whether it's Netflix, whether it's the gym membership that you ain't used all summer, and you waiting for your summer body next year. Bottom line, you need to cancel all subscriptions, and not have them for 3 months, and really see if they are essential to your life, to your lifestyle. And if they are, cool, get them back. But if they aren't, if it's something that you just was like, hey, I really didn't miss it, then never get it back, and put that money, that extra 20, that extra 50, that extra 100, whatever it is, then you put that on some debt, or you put it in a savings account. So that's the money tip for today. Again, we will be shooting this podcast and talking about real money situations. Again, this is Lawrence Kane Jr., financial coach and host of the Money Talks podcast on the Never Not Working Network. Want to thank everybody for tuning in. And remember, financial success, it happens on purpose. God bless.